Old Saxophone Quartet with Review. That's from their 1982 album. The song is titled I Heard That. The album is titled Review, with Julius Hemphill on alto and soprano sax and flute, Oliver Lake on alto and soprano sax, Hamiet Blewett on baritone and alto clarinet, and David Murray on tenor sax and bass clarinet. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And you have no idea how happy I am to be with you today. I almost grew fins in the last couple of days because we've had this storm that just wouldn't go away. Zigged and it zagged and it went north and it went sideways and then it went west and then it came back south and it's threatening to come back south again. So just when you thought that everything was calm and nice, we have the privilege of preparing once again for a visit from Hurricane Dorian. But you know, we escaped the brunt of this hurricane. We really did. It started out being very scary though, seeing people boarding up their windows and so forth and trying to prevent glass from flying if the hurricane should pick up speed, but it did pick up speed, and just the same, because people had enough advance warning. They listened to the instructions that we got, which was to stay put someplace, make sure it's safe and secure, and do your best not to lose your mind. Those were the official instructions. And most people followed through, which was why, in my area at least, although there was lots of rain and thunder and lightning and so forth, we didn't really have it really bad. Other places did, and even so, they have mostly to contend with water, accumulated water, and wind, but we did not have a high death rate, and we did not have serious accidents. And for all this, we must be grateful, because in the middle of all of this, we have to be thankful that we really didn't get a beating, not like they did in the Bahamas, where the winds were just atrociously attacking all the islands of the Bahamas, really, and the storm is not finished with them. So it is a great thing to have come through it, to have suffered not any kind of losses that many people have suffered, and to be in reasonably good shape, although not mentally. Nobody I know would agree that mentally I'm in good shape. But we have come through it and are hoping that this storm does not continue to misbehave and, bend back toward us to give us another, another lashing. It's at times like this you become a little bit introspective, and in the moment it occurs to you how fleeting life could be and what people many places over the world literally are dealing with, which is facing the possibility of the ending of their lives due to some cause of nature and sometimes acts of war. what you get to understand, and you get the time to take a quick appraisal of things, and you realize that of all the things that you could possibly lose in your life and would hate to lose, on the top of the list is your life. You don't want to lose that. And you're grateful whether you have an aching foot or you have a broken arm or whatever it is. You realize that you can cope with that, because deep inside you is a sense of hope. You don't lose hope, and you try never to lose hope. And then you read about what other people are dealing with, real life and death issues. And you hope, A, that you're not going to be there in that situation. And you commiserate with them, that they come through their travails and troubles as whole as possible. Well, so now that we're back, again, this is provided that the storm doesn't again misbehave. Most of the meteorologists who have been covering the storm and its impact are all saying the same thing. They've never seen a storm, a hurricane actually, misbehave like this one. It has been misbehaving. A lot of their predictions have gone to hell. The storm is not taking care of that, not heeding from the meteorologists where it ought to go. It's going wherever it wants to go. And there's much to be learned from this, I imagine, once things are under control, because it was a very unusual hurricane, unusual in its pattern, in its force, destructive force. And as things go, I'm not saying that deaths are to be expected, but as things go, I think we pulled through in pretty good shape. Not a high death rate, but we did have deaths. And there are people still unaccounted for. But I'm hoping that we can pull back together, and most people will have an end or see an end to their suffering. Okay, so what can we talk about today? Oh, and let me just say this one thing. What was particularly notable, and I think it's the case wherever you have major natural disasters and tragedies, in every case, the authorities reached out to the communities and did a splendid job of getting everybody as prepared as possible and doing a great job to make everybody safety-minded. I tell you, I had never seen something like it, where people were deployed. It was clear that they were prepared to do that job of getting people not to freak out, but to, settle into the situation and to prepare for it. And that, I imagine, took a great toll off of those who, at a time like this, take on the job of securing people and communities. So that was very, very notable to me, how dedicated the people who are in the business of saving lives and serving communities that are in distress, they did a splendid job and continue to do a splendid job. So my personal thanks for these folks who went beyond the call of duty and got us all not to freak out and do stupid things that in the end would have jeopardized our lives. So because of that, there's a story to tell about public safety people and the work that they do. Well, the movement is on to, as you know, to get President Trump out of office, and it got a boost in the last few days from Representative Ben Ray Lujan, a Democrat from New Mexico, representing New Mexico's 3rd congressional district since 2009, and assistant House Speaker since 2019. And he is the highest level Democrat to date to publicly state that the president has got to go, and therefore impeachment hearings ought to be sped up. So this is a very interesting thing. What is particularly interesting is that he is an assistant House Speaker, which means that he is supposedly working very closely with Nancy Pelosi, or has been working closely with Nancy Pelosi, but now he's on the other side. Since Pelosi cannot make up her mind definitively, she has said, as we know, that she does not favor impeachment. She thinks the country can't deal with it. It is too much of a punch for the country to take. It's too divisive. And so she counsels as the speaker. This is now Lujan's associate, that all hands should be off this matter of impeachment. So we'll see how Ben Ray Lujan's involvement now, full-fledged involvement, his full-throated support of impeachment, how that's going to play off in the dynamic between him and Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But more and more people are signing on, more and more Democrats, I should say, are signing on to impeachment and launching an impeachment inquiry against Trump. Since Congress broke for recess last month, more than 24 Democrats have come out and announced their support for the measure. So now the other part of it is, if it looks like they will meet their goal in order to get the majority vote, when will impeachment actually start, and what will be formally the grounds for impeachment? Some people are saying that Trump is committing more infractions than the capacity of any impeachment committee to keep up with finding causes for which he should be impeached. It says something about where we're going. And it is unusual that we started off, there was a push uphill for this, and it looked there for quite a while that they just wouldn't make it. But I think Trump's conduct and behavior and decisions that he has made, they're all so egregious that somebody has to do something. And I can, you know, you look back and you say, well, if ordinary people spotted this years ago, literally from the moment he came into office, you had grounds for impeachment almost right away. because this president has just decided the United States is his personal property. He can do whatever he wants, and he's quite absolutist about it. Not only can he do what he wants, he will do what he wants. He has no concern as to whether the things that he has done and continues to do are illegal or unconstitutional. He doesn't care about that. So I don't know whether this would accelerate the impeachment process for the Democrats, but I can't see why it would. Why it would impede their progress on this matter. They ought now to move with all due deliberate speed, because the president has become even more out of control, if you could imagine that. And it is now outside the borders of the United States. In the global community, he's an embarrassment. He has fractured just about every deal, every pact that the country had negotiated with allies. He just wreaked havoc with that. Not only is Trump, I think, an embarrassment to the country as a president, but his entire administration. So we are stuck as, quote, the people, unquote. We have to tolerate this, or at least we are made to understand that we have to tolerate this. The process is very slow, and don't be surprised if by the time it is decided that the articles of impeachment should go through, that Trump is either out of office or close to being out of office. The House of Representatives Judiciary Committee is preparing to hold hearings and request testimony from people involved in the 2016 payments to adult film star. They used to call them porn stars, but adult film is a much nicer term. Stormy Daniels and ex-Playboy model Karen McDougal as soon as October, the Washington Post is reporting. You may recall that Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty last year to charges that the payoffs he had made in behalf of Trump amounted to illegal campaign contributions. Trump, on the other hand, says he never directed Cohen to do anything illegal. Yet another embarrassing black eye for the entire country. But this time, I think there will be resolution, because the country simply cannot tolerate the rate of these transgressions, let alone the depth and gravity of the transgressions. We're seeing that Representative Ilhan Omar is once again in the middle of a political storm. And this time it has to do with her own private / public decisions that people are very uncomfortable with. The question is being raised about whether she knew that she was, in fact, involved in a domestic situation. I don't see how she can't claim that she didn't know, in which one of her advisors is a man that she allegedly is romantically involved in, which is one issue. The second issue is that this same man has been paid by her campaign in excess of $200,000 for his services, allegedly to her campaign. The charge, actually, the official charge, has been made by the man's wife, who filed her claim in newspapers, I mean, the courts, and it appeared in newspapers. So it's quite a public issue. The diplomatic problem here is that Ilhan Omar has, this is not the first time that she's been embroiled in a scandal. But number two is that it raises the question of how it is that nobody else knew, and was it brought to the attention of the authorities? There are all kinds of rules in Congress, including moral turpitude and all other kinds of things. Well, don't worry about the moral turpitude, because almost all of Congress would be behind bars. But I asked the question, what is it that Congresswoman Omar continues to place herself at the nexus of very unpleasant things that compromise, in my view, her ability to do her job? But she does it, and she has been doing this for quite some time. You may recall that my comments about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar or that she should do one important thing, and just lay low, keep your mouth shut, and learn the complexities of your job, and use your opportunity, your political opportunity, wisely. Instead, it seems to me that she is infatuated with her own notoriety. She likes the idea of media coverage. And so far, I don't see that domestic issues take precedence in her political work. And this is posing a big problem for her political constituency. And, you know, you would think that she would, at least by now, understand how you play this political game. You can't, in a way, this is what she and Trump have in common. They want you to confront them. They want to encourage a fight. Over what? It doesn't matter. Because in making themselves known in the context of a fight, the thinking is that gives them added political credits. It gives them coverage. It gives them notoriety. And in the world of politics, all these are good things to have, no matter how you get them. So I'll pause here for a moment and have you say your piece around these few topics that I've raised, and call in at 888-874-4888, resettling back to our routine. We'll take this break and come back to your calls. listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we picked a couple of subjects so far because I don't want the deck to get too cluttered before we can wipe it clean and move on to the next set of issues. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. What are you thinking out there? Let's see. You're free to comment, and I'd like to hear what you're thinking. I'm just getting back to a normal life, and that means that I have to get my brain kind of back in gear. Some people would say that that's an impossibility. It is not possible to get my brain back in gear, but I do believe that I can. 888-874-4888. By the way, if you have something related to these issues, they also qualify. You can talk about them as well. I'm trying to find out why I lost my place, and I can't seem to find my page. Hold on while I get my space back at 888-874-4888. Anything that you want to contribute, this is the time. Let's see. Okay, I'm back on my page here now. And I can see it. Okay. So, yes, I'm thinking that this issue of moving on the impeachment of Donald Trump needs to pick up speed. And one way or the other, it ought to be resolved and quickly, because this is crazy how this country is being run with this president. I mean, not to pat myself on the back, and I'm not the only one, but very early on, very, very early on, in the same month that he took office, there was enough there to bother people about his conduct, about how he was probably going to be running his administration, to cause great concern. But they let things go and go and go, and now we have a renegade president. Bill from Brooklyn, what are you thinking?
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and to the Eutrice Leeds family. Actually, today I'm actually good afternoon. Actually, I'm calling from the middle of the swamp in Washington D.C. It's a beautiful day here before the storm, and I tell you, within eyesight of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it's all I can do to just contain myself. But I'm happy that there seems to be some momentum, as you mentioned, with some of the more senior members of the House moving forward in the direction of impeachment of Donald Trump. So hopefully this will build steam. Each and every day the man gets more and more unhinged. And as you said, he's an embarrassment to the world, to the nation. I mean, leaders of the world, I would love to be a fly on the wall in some of their meetings to hear what they really, really think. We had one example of that with, I think, the former ambassador from the UK. So yes, let's hope that things really get on a fast track with getting this fellow out of office.
What do you say to people who respond to your position by saying you're just being angry for no reason? It's just another way of saying you make Donald Trump pay, although it actually, the blame belongs to the Democrats, not Trump.
Well, they might have their perspective on that. However, I go to the source, and the source is the United States Constitution, which compels the Congress to proceed with impeachment. This man has created all kinds of crimes and misdeeds and misdemeanors that are rampant from day one. And so if you go to the source, to the Constitution, the Congress is compelled, no matter what the Senate does, but they are compelled to proceed with impeachment.
But what about the fact that some people don't see it as an even-handed treatment, that there are things that other presidents, most notably Democratic presidents, had done, and they didn't come close to the kind of acrimony that Trump is getting? Is there any legitimacy to that, in your view?
I would say yes, but that's unfortunate. I mean, yes, and those persons should have, those presidents should have been held to account at that time. We are in 2019 now, and confronted going into the third year of a president that has rampantly and flagrantly violating every statute, every tenet of the law in terms of his responsibilities to protect and defend this nation, and that means all of its laws. And so they may say, well, you know, Clinton did this and Obama did that and so forth, but and they might have valid arguments. And yes, indeed, there were some things that those individuals perhaps should have been brought up on. But we're dealing with, September 3rd, 2019, and with a man that has countless violations that would, they're innumerable. And given the gravity of that and the severe damage that it's done to the nation and to the economy, I mean, we're on the verge of a recession, and you know, all these trade wars that are going on that are harming even his base. So I would say that we must proceed post-haste in a true, deliberate exercise of the impeachment proceedings.
But it's happening also at a time just preceding a general election. So politics is right at the top of the list of things that we would hear about all this time, between now
sure.
and the election. It's all about political decisions being made everywhere. Is this one of those political decisions? Do you really believe, as Nancy Pelosi does, that it is too costly a price to pay at this time?
There is indeed a risk, and however, it's worth it. If we are to stand by, again, the Constitution requires what it demands. And so there will be other times that we may be confronted with these challenges, and there will be political costs. But I say let the chips fall where they may, and let's proceed with all alacrity to what is required, you know, under the Constitution, under the law.
Okay, you made your case, Bill. I happen
to
agree with you.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Take care. 888-874-4888. How does the issue of politics interplay with the political scene? And is it a fair thing to say, because all our political hackles are up, we're more sensitive to political things at this time, in this period leading up to the election, than at any other? Is this a kind of incentive that we're being served to agree to basically take the president out of a next possible cycle as president of the United States? What do you think? See, you have to look at it from all these different angles. And if you make a good case, you make a good case. I think Bill made a very good case, but we also have to look at where the weak spots, even in this strongly felt opinion that many have, I share it, whether there's a weak spot that we're not seeing, or whether we are deliberately overlooking it so that countercharges would not be made for any candidate, any Democratic candidate, who surfaces as a possible leader. What do you think? You think that's possible? Or is it, you know, look, we're in a bind. We have to solve it and solve it fast. time is running out. We didn't take care of this business before in the same way that Democratic candidates who should have been impeached, we didn't take care of that business either. We let them off the hook. So why can't people live with a tit-for-tat kind of thing? It happens. This is the nature of politics. It is now Donald Trump's turn. Why shouldn't he experience the wrath of prosecution for failing at his job and for doing all kinds of unconstitutional things as president of the United States? Why should we abide by that? Any ideas? I'm just trying to provoke a, you know, what's on the other side conversation to see how, if you were asked to make a case for Donald Trump not being impeached, what would it be? Did I just cancel the conversation by saying that? Because it's so weighted against him. That's the truth of it. That is the truth of it. He is, he's got a rough road ahead of him, that's for sure. Not that he doesn't deserve it. He absolutely deserves it. But you just have to think about these things and talk them through, see what you come up with. If you are asked to defend Donald Trump against impeachment, is there, do you have any hope that you can mount a good case in his behalf? Let me know. Okay, we can move on. We shall move on. I'm having the worst time with my... Peter, you're on the air. Sorry. Hello, Peter. You're on the air. Well, he just took off. Okay, I'll give a little bit more time in case people want to comment at 888-874-4888. Now is the time to do so. What are you thinking about this issue of the impeachment process looking like it's picking up speed, just like the storm that we just came out of? More Democrats have signed on. Leading to people thinking that, yes, they're serious now and they're moving in the same direction despite the fact that the leader of the party has time and again expressed her differences with impeachment, saying that it is too much of an emotional crisis for the country to go through at this time. And that there are other greater priorities, including getting done what is left to do in terms of legislation, getting that done. And instead of just falling prey to the temptation to be sidetracked with impeachment. Peter, you're on the air. Okay, Peter, you are on the air. Okay, so we move on. He was on twice and then we lost him twice. Okay, what do you think of Congresswoman Ilhan's predicament? Do you see it as a predicament, or is it something that we can just move on from? Is it a serious issue, or in your mind, is it something that is a temporary distraction? How do you view Representative Ilhan Omar's alleged indiscretions? Is it a political issue or is it a personal problem? And how should it be treated with regard to the so-called rules of Congress that she allegedly is to be accountable for? Is it just a thing about Ilhan Omar that she's one of those people, you either like her or you can't stand her? Is it one of those? Or is it a matter that people are not looking deeply enough at the issue itself and how it is being treated? What say you? 888-874-4888. Come on, people. You don't have your thinking caps on today. I have to confess, that includes me. That includes me, too. We're all getting back to the swing of things in this new week. But we can still make sense of an issue. If it presents itself to us, we should be able to say a thing or two about it. Any ideas? Okay. So the Washington Post reported over the weekend that congressional Democrats plan to investigate Trump's alleged hush money payments to women who said they had affairs with him. The House of Representatives Judiciary Committee is preparing to hold hearings and request testimony from people involved in the 2016 payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels and ex-Playboy model Karen McDougal as soon as October. Trump's personal lawyer, as you recall, Michael Cohen, had pleaded guilty last year to charges that the payoffs amounted to illegal campaign contributions. Trump says he never directed Cohen to do anything illegal. What's your position? Should Trump be investigated for making these payments to these women? And should the Judiciary Committee call an official investigation into the matter? This, of course, will take Trump down if they handle it in a particular way. The question is, as I asked, is this an illegal act, as far as you're concerned? 888-874-4888. Now, I remind you that this is not new. This charge is not new in our experience as a nation. We've had this come up many, many, many times, but it never really took prominence as a major political issue. It was a scandal, yes, but it wasn't the reason that a president lost his tenure in office. Should it be now, even with actual evidence, and from none other than the man who was the president's personal lawyer, Mr. Cohen, if he gives testimony that he was ordered to pay this one and that one for their sexual services to the president, A, could we assume that he's telling the truth? B, that even if he did it, under the at the direction of the president himself. How is this likely to be presented in a court of law? What do you think? Would they say that definitely Donald Trump had relations with these women over a particular period of time and he paid for their services? And his personal lawyer was directed to do the payment, to process the payment to the women that the president was involved in? Or is this, in the scheme of things, to be seen as, well, no big deal? He didn't harm anybody. It didn't cause the nation to fall apart. So consider it a kind of a man thing and move on. What do you think? Do you think the public is ready to accept that even if President Trump did these things and that he ordered his attorney to cut checks to these women, and they have the checks that had been cashed, is it a big deal in the scheme of things? So big that Trump should face charges separate from the other charges that we've raised that should cause an impeachment of the president. Does this, in your view, rise to the level of a prosecution of the president for soliciting sex or for lying when asked about whether he paid these people, or for engineering his personal lawyer to transact these terms of business in his behalf? What should happen to the president? And what should happen here? Should the president appear in a court of law to defend himself against these charges? 888-874-4888. My gosh, you guys are making me work so hard today. Have a little mercy on me. I've been through some strange winds and rain. I deserve a little compassion. Let's hear what you think. This is the time to say it. Should the president be prosecuted for this crime? That's the question I put to you. Should he be prosecuted for this crime, alleged crime? Because the only person making that assertion so far, officially, is his former personal lawyer, who is in jail right now. And he is saying these things. He's making these charges, backing up the stories of the women themselves. But does that mean that that's the truth? How do you prove that this was true without having a trial? And what would be the charge of the trial? Is this going to be your basic solicitation of sex? Is this going to be about the money? How do you prosecute this case? What do you see? 888-874-4888. You're making me work way too hard today. Normally everybody's all perky and ready to pick up, but I am working like the old dentists used to work, having to press that pedal in order to get into your teeth. You're making me work, but it's okay. It's okay. No harm done. So we have two things on the board. We have the matter of impeachment of the president. Now that we have some heavyweights joining the Democrats saying, yes, he ought to be impeached. And now they're heading close to a majority on that question. So does that mean that the impeachment of the president is going to take on an even more serious tone, a more deliberate tone? And this, despite the fact that the Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi is opposed to it, does it also indicate that this is a challenge, a direct challenge to her leadership? When the Democrats reach a point where they can override her leadership and proceed by committee with the impeachment of the president. That's one thing. But we have several issues that come underneath that that also need to be considered. The question of the president and the matter of his paying for sex, and we have that issue now coming to the surface, which will be an extension of more political clout through the impeachment process of Democrats. Maybe it would surface in that context. So the Democrats now have enough clout that they don't have to flinch about proceeding with a case that they possibly can lose. We can see how that will turn out. We have also that the argument, the counter-argument will be made, and people should expect it, that you have had other presidents, recent presidents, Democratic presidents, who and Republican presidents, who very easily could have been charged with a similar crime, but they were not, for political reasons. People didn't want it to be seen that this was being done to the president as an act of vengeance or revenge, but was a perfectly legitimate charge. But look, it can't help the context of the alleged crime. It is happening in the context of a changing of the guard, a possible changing of the guard in the White House. And it is to solidify the Democratic Party, which will use this or could use this as a way of consolidating their power and closing their ideological ranks and coming forward as a united party. That's not what they are now. But cases like these help a party take on the attributes of, we are unified in what we see we must do. And therefore, they have a new energy to pursue these kinds of crimes, because it would be a win for the party. It certainly would be a win against a very unpopular president. And it could be the place where the party begins to reassert itself in the political arena. All righty. So we don't have any takers. Well, today was a disappointing day, but I'm not really disappointed. I know some people are, I'm kind of tired out by the weekend, and maybe you are too. So much understanding all around. So we'll end the program here today, and stay tuned for more good radio. I'm still insisting that this is good radio, but sometimes it's like this. Sometimes people are just not in the mood to talk about these things. So I have a bunch of other things that we could talk about. Maybe we'll try some of those tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.